Hey folks, I'm Tom.
And I'm Vince.
Welcome to Friday Night Beer, a show where two guys who know too much about pop culture and not enough about beer try some beers and explain them in a way that you may understand.
But that you probably won't, and it'll only make sense to us. Either way, we hope you'll be entertained.
Vince, can you handle it?
Can I handle what?
Can you handle it? Answer can the question.
Whatever it is, I'm confidently going to say no.
Can you handle the truth?
Oh, I guess we'll find out today.
Oh, folks, this is the most honest episode in Friday Night Beer's history. We are drinking a beer that's simply called Truth.
That's right. By Rheingeist, as it so pointedly points out, since he made.
And I got to be honest with you, I love that there's a Bones reference right on the can.
Oh my God.
We'll learn more about that, but Vince, why don't you tell us a little bit about Truth?
A little bit about Truth. Avoid it where you can. I'm just kidding. No, you should always.
Was that a pun? Avoid it where you can?
Hey!
Oh, yeah. Nice.
Truth is brewed by Rheingeist, as we just mentioned. It does proudly boast that it's since he made right above the... It looks like drop of liquid that is a skull, so take that for what it's worth. In Cincinnati, Ohio, we're talking about an IPA here coming in at 7.2%. Now, looking at the can, it's got some green on it here across, which makes me immediately think that there's some sort of apple tie in here, but let's find out. The description reads as such: rare are moments of truth when you've struck the last match, belting out tunes with your friends, staring deep into the campfire, times when you feel infinite. Our truth is found in the scintillating brilliance of hops, brewed with a nod to the Pacific. Hops sizzle with tropical fruit aroma, grapefruit, and mango notes, and a dry finish. I'll be honest, that sounds like they hired David Foster Wallace to write some sort of poem.
I'm glad you're being honest about that. It does sound very eloquent. And just so you know, this is the second Ohio beer we've done ever, and the second of this particular season. So, Ohio.
This is Ohio's year.
Ohio's been had a big glow up.
And funny you mentioned glow up. I do know that Rheingeist has a beer called Glow.
Oh, that's great.
And I believe it is a sour.
But yeah, and this particular beer is not only one of the highest selling IPAs, it was also recognized as one of the 100 best beers in the world by Men's Journal.
Doesn't Men's Journal strike you as like the only legitimate publication that might contact you and say, if you pay us $5,000, you can be ranked?
Probably.
You know what I'm talking about? Those like ink lists where they say, we've decided to call you guys the company of the year.
Yeah, right.
Pay us $5,000 now.
We'll tell people you guys are awesome.
Or we're going to go to the next one on the list.
Yeah, I don't think I've read a Men's Journal article, but I'm sure it's come up.
I got a nice like workout regimen from it that I never used back in college.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Are they related to the men's health people?
Oh, that's what I'm thinking of. Yeah. This is totally different.
Men's Journal, yeah. Not the health.
So maybe Men's Journal may actually be soliciting people.
Well, let's set the record straight on Rheingeist and some history. Vince, I'll lay out the facts for
Please
you.
So do.
This started in 2005. The journey, I should say, started between two guys named Bob Bonder and Bryant Golding, who were consultants in San Francisco. And they were not too satisfied with that line of work. So they were using their job to create an algorithm to determine which city was the most thirsty for a new brand of coffee at the time. And somehow they determined that Cincinnati was the ideal place for this new coffee brand.
Now, we were talking before, and I knew this fact, and I said, that's so fascinating. I would not have accepted that. I would have assumed that my algorithm was broken
right.
if it suggested Cincinnati. But given the topic and the fact that we are drinking truth, I do want to put a challenge towards you. Can you give me two truths and a lie and work your way through this history?
Yes.
Okay. Let's do that.
Two truths and a lie. Bob and Bryant decided to move to Cincinnati in July of 2012. The formation of this brewery took a turn when they met a man named Jim Matt. and they began construction of this in January of 2015. Which of those is the lie?
I'm going to say that the lie is Jim Matt. There's no way that's a real person.
I am proud to tell you that he is real. There's a real man named Jim Matt.
Okay.
Who?
Apologies, Mr. Matt.
Who they met in a mall in Cincinnati, and they hired him on the spot to be their brewer, and he continues to be their brewer to this day.
Well, I mean, is there some background? I mean, they just met this guy in a mall, and they're like, hey, I like your style.
I'm not kidding. It said that he was an espressophile who used to go to this Italian restaurant that they were a fan of. It turns out this guy was a chemist at Eli Lilly for over 20 years and loved home brewing. So
wow.
They kind of met up with him, and you know, there was some inspiration from Sun King Brewery, which we featured on the show.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah. But the lie was that they actually started construction in 2013, not 2015. Long story short, they have been rocking and rolling in downtown Cincinnati since 2013. Truth was one of the first beers that they brewed at the time. And the name Rheingeist is...
Actually, hold on.
Yeah.
I want to do two truths and a lie to you. And I want to include something about the name.
Okay, let's hear it.
I'm going to stop you. It might be the same thing. I don't know. But if it is, pretend it's not.
Okay, how about this? Why don't we crack these?
Well, that's... Damn it. You're too far ahead of me, Tom. Sorry. Let's just crack it.
Okay.
My two truths were going to be that Rheingeist translates to Ghost of the Rhine. My second truth was going to be, it's time to crack. I was just going to make something up, but it's time to crack them.
It is time to crack.
Cheers,
Vince. To an honest beverage. There we go.
That didn't make the sound we were hoping. We no. Cheered.
Okay.
Oh, it does.
Smelling something pretty good.
I'm smelling apple orchard.
Oh, wow. That's very good.
That's sweet. That's good.
You know, it doesn't explicitly
juicy.
State apple. It mentions fruit, grapefruit, and mango. But I will also note that Rheingeist has a side brand called Cidergeist, where they make cider. I'm sure they're using apple and a ton of their other products. My first reaction when drinking this is that this is a real fresh, you said juicy, I think that's a perfect description, juicy IPA, which is interesting because this isn't a hazy IPA.
I agree with you. I think it really pops off of the tongue, and it does have that like sweet but bitter feel that we've come accustomed to expecting from more of like a hazy IPA with that juice pop. But there's something about this, and it could just be the subliminal advertising here, but this feels aptly named. Like, this feels to me, I'm having a drink of this, and I'm feeling good. I'm feeling loose-lipped. I might tell you some things about myself that I normally wouldn't.
And the fact that it's 7.2% means that after a couple of these, you're probably a little more loose than you would be after three Bud Lights.
I'm going to be a little forward, for sure. By number three, I'm going to be talking about like, hey, maybe you want to go back to my place and play a little N64. That's not a euphemism.
Yeah, come to my place. You can actually
play a little Mario Kart. My roommates are waiting from college. You're going to love them.
Now, Vince, have you been to Cincinnati?
I have not been to the city that sins twice, as friend of the pod, Maura, calls it.
I refuse to believe that she made that up.
I don't know. I've never heard it anywhere before. I asked her what she was quoting, and she said nothing.
Yeah.
I made it up.
So some of my relatives have been to Cincinnati. My brother, Matt, went on a field trip to Cincinnati, essentially.
Okay.
And they took a bus there, and I guess they had a good time, but, you know, when you're...
As a kid?
As a kid.
Okay.
Eighth grade field trip, yeah. My dad went there for a Steelers-Bengals playoff game, which was the one where the Bengals blew it because they had multiple penalties on the last play of the game. My dad literally got chased out of the stadium by angry Bengals fans, and they were awful to him.
That's such a hard truth about Ohio fans in general, is they are brutal.
Right. Terrible. They're terrible sports fans.
There's no respect for a visiting fan.
I'm glad that they have this brewery because I feel like it is a city that's desperate to cling on to random traditions. Like, one that comes to mind is like Skyline Chili.
Yeah.
How did that fucking start? Like, why?
There's no, is there a Cincinnati Skyline? You know what I mean?
I guess. I it's not one I can picture right now. I feel like Cincinnati is just a city that is ripe for jokes. Another one that I remember real quick from Family Guy. They're making fun of movies that have low budgets, and there's a fake trailer for a movie called Danger in Cincinnati.
Nice.
That features an invisible explosion.
Well, okay, there's the Fairly Odd Parents. The Crimson Chin hails from Cincinnati.
Oh, right? Okay, yeah.
I forgot about that. Your point that it's like kind of easy to make fun of a little bit, I want to read you from Vine Pair here, which is a publication online. Mostly about wine, but they do some stuff with breweries. Bonder and Golding wanted to start a brewery in Cincinnati, specifically because of the city's combination of its economically up-and-coming vibe and its rooted historic feel. What a nice way to say that it's kind of a dump. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that is the equivalent of calling somebody who works at the sewage treatment plant water safety engineer.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I feel like people use the term up and coming very loosely. Like,
oh my God.
Like, if you're looking for jobs and like you see something on LinkedIn, it's like up and coming company. It's like coming up from what? The dirt? Like, literally nothing?
Detroit's been up and coming for pretty much most of my life.
Yeah. Another one, a turn of linguistic flair. Airbnbs that say they're cozy. That just means they're
tiny.
Small. Yeah. But cozy sounds better. Or quaint is another one. Quaint. Old.
Quaint. Yes, quaint is old. That's so fun. I was going to say, I thought quaint might be like in the middle of nowhere.
And this is an interesting thing we've globbed on, because this beer is called Truth.
And we're talking about lies.
We're talking about lies.
We're talking about euphemisms.
Yeah. I want to talk about the concept of honesty for a second, because, you know, you hear people talk about this at work, like, oh, I want to work for a company that's transparent. I want to work with people that just shoot it to me straight.
No, you don't.
People don't really like unadulterated honesty. What people really want is they want honesty if it flatters them, and if it isn't going to flatter them, then they don't want to hear it at all.
Okay. Movie characters that you think most mean it and will take it to heart and will not be upset when they say, hit me with the truth, I can handle it, I want to hear it.
I would say Tom Cruise's character in A Few Good Men.
But he's the one who's, oh yeah, I get that is fair. He is literally asking for
he's
it.
He's demanding the truth.
I've got a good one for you.
Yeah.
Melissa McCarthy's character, Megan from Bridesmaids.
That's a good one. Lesser known somewhat, but Drax from Guardians of the Galaxy, a man who doesn't understand sarcasm.
Yeah, but
he speaks in unadulterated truths, but also he can't really see himself in an honest light.
Yeah, I was going to say, Drax feels like the guy who would cut your head off. He'd be like, you can tell me the truth. And then you tell him the truth and he'd cut your head off out of pure anger.
I think Ron Swanson strikes me as a man who has no qualms about who he is.
Yes, that's a good one. Yeah. Ron Swanson's a good one. Vince Vaughn, pretty much any of his characters, they could say, hit me with it. And then they'd be like,
ooh, okay.
That hurt a little bit. Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. That hurt a little bit, but we're moving through it.
Well, I think there's also like there's a difference between people who can like roll with truths about themselves and like turn it into a positive. And there's people that they pretend they're okay with it, but secretly they're stewing about it like forever, you know? Vince, why don't we transition to the glass?
Yeah.
I'm enjoying this so far. Looks.
Oh man, nice, see-through, clear. Exactly, transparent.
It's very transparent.
As you might say. Looks great.
Yeah.
I can't believe it came out of Cincinnati.
Do you believe that? Maybe that's one of the lies as well.
I like it better out of the can.
There's not much to say, like, to the credit of this beer, like, what it describes itself as is accurate. Like, I'm getting a little West Coast vibe. I'm getting a fruity vibe.
Yeah.
It's certainly bitter, but it's not like, oh, it's not like a hot dog time machine where it's like we are throwing hops into this aggressively. Like,
It's exactly what it says. It's positive. Right. It's very, very positive. There's no darkness. There's no like depth to it. It's drinking this is like talking to Paul Rudd, his surf instructor in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah. When he's talking about lemons. When life gives you lemons, man, just say fuck the lemons and bail.
Yes, exactly. It's like that. It's just so you're like, yeah. There's really not too much here, but it's delightful. Exactly what I want on a vacation.
It's interesting you bring that up, too, because I feel like Jason Segel's character in Forgetting Sarah Marshall was a man who was so low that he could only deal with the truth. You know, like he had to accept some really hard truths about himself.
So it's interesting that you bring that up. Well, I brought it up accidentally, but it's interesting that you talk about how low he was because I think you know that the infamous scene where Sarah Marshall enters and he is naked.
Yeah.
Right. And then she proceeds to break up with him is based off of a real thing that happened to him. There is more to the story that I only recently just found out. And you
was
may know
this.
Was
on Conan's show?
Yes.
I saw this
you
too.
You saw this. Yeah. Okay. So for those of you who are not sitting here and may not have seen it, apparently after a certain amount of time, he realized he was being broken up with naked and he said, I need to go put clothes on. And she said, okay, go ahead and do that. And he says, I spent 25 minutes picking out an outfit.
A breakup outfit.
And then when he came out, he said, it's your favorite.
Well, you also left out that the reason he was naked to begin with, because he thought she was going to want to have sex with him.
Yes.
He thought it'd be a fun gag to be like,
I need to see you.
I'm just naked.
Yes.
Yeah.
She said, I need to see you. And he was like, this means she wants to have sex.
Let's get down to business.
Which is it's so funny too because he talks about how he's like, as it was happening, I just couldn't stop thinking about it. Like, this really sucks for me, but this is going to be so funny when I write it. Like, so funny when I write it. And I've definitely had a specific, I'm not going to get into it here, but like I've had that specific moment where I'm like, I'm literally in tears and I'm like, God, this is so funny though.
Yeah. Well, they say the only difference between comedy and tragedy is time, right?
Like, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You could be having a horrible moment, but at some point, years later, you'll find something funny about it, you know? And I don't want to get into this topic too deeply, but like breakups are sort of the ultimate like inflection point of honesty because you always hear people say, well, I just wish you would be honest with me. And then
you don't want to hear that.
You don't want to. When someone says, well, I don't want to be with you, that's like the ultimate, like, what the fuck? That's not true. That can't be true.
I'm so, so sorry. You know what? I didn't clean my ears out this morning.
Yeah.
It sounded like you said you do not want to spend time with me anymore.
Right. And ultimately, like, 95% of the time, people try to dress it up as something else. They'll give you like, oh, it's not you, it's me, or I'm just not ready, or I don't have time, blah, blah, blah. It's all fucking bullshit,
right?
Well,
what's insane is like, there's no answer that's going to give you what you want to hear. Because I'm not ready is actually, like, the ultimate truth of it. And quite frankly, hearing that, you say, that's bullshit. Come on, what the hell is that? But, like, once you're in it and it's happened to you, and you listen to the excuse that you got, and you just realize at the end of the day, they weren't at that same place, you're like, oh, that was the truth.
Right, but you always want to think it's something else if you're on the receiving end.
You want to think it's something you can change. You can't change somebody not being ready.
Yeah. No, that's the tricky thing about truth is, like, yes, it is the best policy in, like, the sense that it delivers you the information, but it's not always what you want to hear. That's why lies are sometimes better.
So here's... that's... Lie to everyone, kids. So, okay, here's the thing. I think honesty is the best policy for keeping a clear conscience. But I saw... And, oh, man, fine. I'm going to go into it. Maura started watching Grey's Anatomy while I was in the room, and now I'm hooked. I'm watching it.
You started from the beginning?
I'm watching it. I've got a lot of problems with many of the characters, but it's good dramatic TV.
Yeah.
I don't know that it needed to go however many seasons it's on, which I think it's like 40. But there's a point at which a guy does something really bad with another girl who is married, and she says, you have to tell her, we have to tell her. And he says, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to hurt her to clear my conscience. And that is what, that's what being perpetually honest does. It keeps your conscience clear, but it inflicts a ton of damage elsewhere.
Yeah, I would say most people don't want to live that way. Most people would rather live in a delusional world where everybody is just pleasant and nice, you know?
Yeah, where Cincinnati is an up-and-coming city.
I got one more thing for you. We can make this real quick, and then we can give our honest scores. I wrote down some movies that are ostensibly about truth or just about, like, the truth of our reality. I'd like you to power rank these three, okay?
Okay. I hope one of them is what I'm thinking.
The Matrix.
Oh.
I've got Inception.
Oh.
And I've got Fight Club.
Okay, now that's interesting. I thought that you might throw, like, The Ugly Truth in there.
No, not movies that literally have the word truth
well,
in them.
The Ugly Truth is that Gerard, your American accent, shit.
The Ugly Truth is Katherine Heigl was a bitch, and that's why she's not in Hollywood anymore.
Well, I don't know, dude. Ashton Kutcher said that when they did it together, or no, not Ashton Kutcher. Was it? It was either Kutcher or Duhamel. I think it's Duhamel. Josh Duhamel was like, I had great experience with her. So maybe everyone caught her
sure.
on.
Sure. I mean, I'm sure you had a great time on Transformers too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, but what? How are you power ranking those three?
Am I power ranking them in terms of enjoyment or in terms of like complexity and depth of
enjoyment?
Truth? Enjoyment.
Yeah.
Man, that's a tough top three. Do you have yours ready to go?
Yeah, I do. So,
I want you to go last, though, because I know that you've thought about this and you have a lot going on with it. So my first is probably going to be Inception. I'm a Hans fiend. Also love Nolan, as everyone knows, right? Mm-hmm. So Inception's first. Then I think I'm going to go Fight Club. As far as being a cinephile, which is like a tough thing to call myself, and just in general, like thinking about movies at more than a, oh, I enjoyed that level. Fight Club was pretty instrumental. And then The Matrix was so overblown by the time I got to it that it lost a lot of its impact.
Okay, I hear you on that. I mean, if you weren't there for the beginning of The Matrix, like, it was parodied pretty significantly.
Yeah.
I'm going in reverse order. So third, I have Fight Club in terms of enjoyment. Not that I don't think it's an incredible film. I think they're all thought-provoking. And they were all crucial films for me and my, like, evolution as a movie fan. But I think just in terms of rewatchability, it's third for me. Okay. And then number two, I have The Matrix. I love The Matrix. I think that it's quite possibly the greatest action film ever. Certainly the most intelligent one. And, like, made me question a lot of different things. And then number one is Inception. Arguably my second or third favorite film ever. Just a masterpiece of everything.
What is real? What is not?
Right. And that is literally a movie that's rooted in the truth. Like, would you rather live in a dream world?
It's rooted in burying the truth.
Right.
I'm burying you.
Vince, what are you feeling score-wise for Ryan?
I like this beer a lot. I think it's very smooth. Especially 7.2%. You got 7.2. That's 7 and 20% of a percentage point of alcohol just coursing through your veins. I could pound these. These are porch pounders for sure. I would give it a nice, easy 4.25 out of 5 Vinces.
I'm right there with you. I am a huge fan of this. It's an IPA. It's just, it seems like an instant classic already, even though it's my first one. I would love to have more. I'm going to take it a step further. I'm going to go 4.5 out of 5 Toms.
You Cincinnati lover. I'm going to tell your father.
This is the greatest thing that's ever come out of Cincinnati. I'm just going to tell you that right now.
Well, didn't Joe Burrow technically come out of Cincinnati?
He moved into Cincinnati. And
didn't he grow up in
he's
Cincinnati?
He's from Ohio, but not from the Cincinnati area.
Okay, okay.
But he said, he made a comment during like the Super Bowl run 2 years ago when he was like, listen, there's not a lot to do in this town, so we're really hunkering down and studying the playbook. I'm paraphrasing a bit, but that's what he said.
That's like, who was the Eagles receiver that got traded to Buffalo and ended up having like 7 kids?
Oh, yeah. I know who you're talking about.
Jordan Matthews.
Yes, Jordan Matthews. Yes. He's like, there's not a lot to do up here.
Nothing to do.
Well, Vince, truthfully, this has been a very fun episode for me.
Truthfully, I've enjoyed myself immensely.
And here's no lie. You can follow us on social media, on Instagram and Twitter. You can also follow our accounts on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And I hope you do that because we put a lot of hard work into the show. And I think it's great.
Truthfully, I agree. On another little speck of truth, we do have a live show coming up for you guys.
That's right. June 9th in Chicago at Fat Poor.
Apologies in the South Loop, right?
Yeah, South Loop Fat Poor, yeah.
Yeah, apologies if this gives you a week's notice, but also, that's a week's notice.
You could book a flight or drive from Cincinnati. I think it's only like a 5-hour drive.
Quit your job as a chemist at Eli Lilly.
Yeah, so we'll have more to come on that. But until next time, I'm Tom.
I'm Vince.
This has been Friday Night Beers, where we have clear eyes, full cans.
Must booze.
And that's no lie.
Nice. I didn't see that coming. I liked it.